as we continue looking at the parables of Jesus and the parables of the kingdom. This is the last of the parables of the kingdom that we'll look at tonight, and then go on to the other parables that are not parables of the kingdom. Matthew 25, and Jesus said, beginning in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so we consider tonight this parable of the talents. Now, Father, we come to this final parable of this particular type that you told us. And, Lord, I pray now that as we consider it tonight, that you'll give us understanding and application of it, and help us now to make proper application. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the parables of the kingdom, most of them begin with, as this one did, with a statement that the kingdom of heaven is like so-and-so. But the parables of the kingdom are the parables which Jesus told to illustrate various developments within the kingdom of God in this present age, between the time that Jesus was rejected as the Messiah of Israel at his first advent and the time that he'll be received as their Messiah at his second advent. And so then, these parables of the kingdom deal with the age in which we're living right now. Now, the parable of the talents is a parable that illustrates our accountability to the Lord. It's a parable that is very similar to a parable that we looked at a few weeks ago, that is the parable of the pounds. Look over, please, to Luke chapter 19, and I want us to read this parable as well. And you'll notice the similarity, but I want you to also notice some of the difference, or one of the differences, between the parable of the talents and this parable. Luke chapter 19, verse 11, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. You see the similarity between those two parables? Do you see the difference between those two parables? Somebody tell me what the difference is. Somebody stand up that can tell me, and stand up and tell me. Come on, people. I know some of you know what it is. You should set it. Say what? Okay, well, that's one thing. The parable of the talents doesn't tell about the ones that said we're not going to have him reign over us, and so he slew them when he got back. That's one difference, but that's not. Okay, that's the key as to what I'm talking about. In the parable of the talents, there were 3 servants, and they started with different amounts. One of them started with 5 talents, another one started with 2 talents, and another one started with 1 talent. Whereas in the parable of the pounds, he told about 3 servants and what they received, and they all started equally. They all started with 1 pound, whereas one of them gained 10. From one, he gained 10. Another one, from one, he gained 5. And then the third one didn't gain any, just like the one with the one that received 1 talent. But that is the difference, and the difference as far as the point that I'm trying to get you to see. And I might make mention of that as we go along. But let's now notice these parable of the talents in Matthew 25. And first, let me say something about the misunderstanding, and you need to hear this. False doctrine has been built around a misunderstanding of the parable of the talents, and what it is this. Some have used the parable of the talents to teach that after a person is saved, if he doesn't serve the Lord, he'll lose his salvation and go to hell. Now, they teach that because the servant who didn't use the 1 talent in the parable is cast into outer darkness. Verse 30, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so some have said, well, that means that fellow was saved, but he didn't serve God, and so therefore he lost his salvation, went to hell. Now, it's not possible that the parable can be teaching that a person can lose his salvation, because that would contradict dozens of passages of Scripture which plainly teach that a person is saved forever when he receives Christ. Now, we don't have time to deal with eternal security tonight. Let me just mention a couple or 3 verses where this is taught. For example, in John chapter 3 and verse number 36, the Scripture says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now, notice that it said he hath, present tense. The person who believes on Jesus Christ as Savior has, present tense, everlasting life. That means that right now I have everlasting life because I've trusted Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's going to get me to heaven, you see. I've trusted him for that. And so according to that verse, I have right now everlasting life. Now, everlasting life, that's everlasting life. It's not temporary life. It's not life that lasts just until I don't serve God like I ought to and then stops. No, it's everlasting life. Nothing. And again, we find this in the Bible, John 6:47. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Again, present tense, everlasting life. Those who trust Christ as Savior have everlasting life right now. It cannot be, cannot end. In John chapter 10 and verses 27 through 30, Jesus said this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And so, again, can't be plucked out of the Lord's hand. And these are just a sampling of verses that teach that if a person is ever truly saved, he is forever saved and cannot lose his salvation. Now, the problem really in using this parable of the talents to teach that a person can lose their salvation, well, two problems. Number one, we should never use a cloudy passage of Scripture to contradict a clear passage. You take clear passages of Scripture and then interpret the cloudy passages in light of the clear ones, not ignore the clear ones and take the cloudy ones, come up with some cockamamie idea about it that's contradictory to what the Bible clearly teaches. And then another thing is, we shouldn't establish doctrine on the basis of parables without supporting evidence somewhere else in the Bible. And so people who use this parable to establish the idea that a person can lose his salvation is incorrectly approaching the parable to start with. The thing to remember is that the primary teaching of this parable, listen to me, deals with accountability. And as we look at the parable, we'll see what's represented by the unprofitable servant who was cast into outer darkness. I hope you'll follow me now as we consider the parable. Notice the distribution in verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And so then, a man's leaving his country for a time, he calls 3 of his servants and gives them portions of money as he felt they were capable of using it for him. One servant receives 5 talents, one receives 2 talents, one receives 1 talent. Now, a talent was a weight of money. In New Testament days, a Roman talent was worth in the neighborhood of between $950 and about $1,200. These servants are to take these talents and to use them for their master while he's gone to accrue interest on them. Notice then their dealing in verses 16 through 18. "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money." So the servant who had been given 5 talents, he invested those 5 talents and doubled the original 5 to 10. The one who had been given 2 talents doubled his original 2 talents so that he had 4. But the servant who had received 1 talent refused to invest it. He simply buried it in the ground. Notice the delight in verses 19 through 23. "After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So the master returns from the far country and begins to reckon with the servants. He's very pleased with the first two servants when they inform him that they had doubled the original investment. It's interesting that he speaks the same words of commendation to the one who had only gained 2 talents as he does to the one who had gained 5 talents. Now, the reason is that the one who had gained 2 had started with 2, thus less was expected of him. The other fellow had 5 committed to him, a rim, and he started with more than this guy that started with 2 ended up with. He started with 5, so therefore more was expected of him, and they both of these servants are rewarded identically for their faithfulness. Notice then the doom in verses 24 through 30. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so the servant who had buried his talent brings that 1 talent to his master. He seeks to excuse himself from responsibility by accusing his master of being a man that's hard to please. Well, the master does 3 things in regard to this servant. Number 1, he rebukes him, verses 26 and 27, calls him a wicked and slothful servant and rebukes him. Secondly, he takes his 1 talent away and gives it to the one that already had talents. And thirdly, he casts him into outer darkness. And so then, this is the parable. Now let's consider the meaning. Jesus does not give the interpretation of this parable, probably because he felt like it's so obvious what it means and what it says that he didn't need to go into a whole lot of detail in giving the interpretation. But let's consider it, and we can, I think, easily. I'm sure you know what it's saying without me even telling you, but that's not going to stop me from telling you. So the meaning, first, the master in the parable represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Master. The servants, now here's where you need to start listening. The servants to whom he committed the talents, the servants represent every person, every individual. Now, if you're going to understand the parable, you have to understand that. The servant does not represent just Christians. It represents all people. Not only the saved are accountable to render service to God, the unsaved are accountable too. See, God expects every person to serve him. And in this parable, everyone, both profitable and unprofitable, both saved and lost, both those who fulfill their obligation to serve God and those who don't, are looked at as God's servants. Remember Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The whole thing belongs to God ultimately. All men belong to the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about all men are saved, but I'm talking about as far as God's concerned, they're his. And this is true, but they're accountable to him. Number one, because God created all men. Whoever it is, God created them. John 1 verse 3 says about the Lord Jesus Christ, the second member of the Trinity, the scripture declares all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so God created all men, therefore all are accountable to him. Secondly, God sustains all men. Colossians 1, after pointing out in verse 16 that Christ is the creator of all things in heaven and earth, then verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The word consist means hold together. And so God sustains all men. Thirdly, Christ died for all men. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10 says that he's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Other words, he's potentially the Savior of all men because he died for all, but practically he's only the Savior of those who trust him and receive him as Savior. So the master then in the parable represents the Lord Jesus Christ. The servants, this represents every person. Thirdly, the talents, you need to hear this too. The talents represent opportunity. Every man receives opportunities represented by the talents. Are you listening? The first talent represents the opportunity to be saved. Are you listening? The first talent represents the opportunity to be saved. The first two servants represent those who take advantage of the opportunity to be saved and then build upon that by using other opportunities to serve God. These will one day stand at the judgment seat of Christ and be rewarded for their service. The wicked servant represents the person who refuses to take advantage of his opportunity to be saved, and thus finds that not only is he not rewarded, but even the opportunity that he had is ultimately taken away and he's sent to hell. Now, that's what is taught in the parable. We're all accountable to God for how we use our opportunities is basically what he's teaching. Now, let me mention three practical lessons that I've already mentioned, I guess, in passing, but three things to focus in on and remember. Number one, we'll be judged according to our opportunities. Now again, remember in the parable of the pounds, one gained 10, one gained 5, and they were rewarded differently. The one that had gained 10 was given authority over 10 cities. The one that had gained 5 was given authority over 5 cities. In this parable of the talents, both the one who gained 5 talents and the one who gained 2 talents is given the same reward. Now, what's the difference? The difference is in opportunity. All the ones in the parable of the pounds, remembered, started equally. They all had 1 pound. So therefore, one that gained 10, one gained 5, but they started with the same. So the one that gained 10 worked harder, evidently, than the one that gained 5 or whatever it was. At any rate, he did more with what he had than the one who gained 5 did with what he had. Whereas in the parable of the talents, the one that gained 5 started with 5, so he doubled what he had. The one who gained 2 started with 2, so he doubled what he had. It has to do with opportunity, you see, and how a person takes advantage of his opportunities. A second thing is this. A person doesn't have to do anything to be lost. It's interesting, the wicked servant, the one who represents an unsaved person, he didn't steal the talent that he was given. He didn't lose the talent that he was given. He didn't misuse the talent that he was given. He simply did absolutely nothing. He buried it in the ground. And so, in the same fashion, and that was the guy, by the way, that was sent to outer darkness, where there'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He did nothing. So you see, an unsaved person, he doesn't have to be a thief. He doesn't have to be an adulterer. He doesn't have to be a drunk. He doesn't have to be a dope pusher. He doesn't have to be a child molester or any of that to be lost. He simply has to neglect his opportunity to be saved. Third thing, one who neglects his opportunity to be saved will one day lose that opportunity. It may be before death or the coming of Christ. See, the Bible teaches a concept that some have called the sinning away of the day of grace. In other words, a person just continues in sin and rejecting Christ until he gets to the point that God just quits dealing with him. Some people, that happens before death. If it doesn't happen before death, it for certain will happen at death. A lost person will lose any opportunity that he has of getting saved. It ends at death. That's why there's no need of praying for somebody after they die. Where they are when they die is where they're going to stay. Prayers notwithstanding. And so, if you're not saved, I would urge you, take advantage of the opportunity that you have. God loves you. Jesus died for you. He wants to save you, and he will if you'll trust him. And if you haven't, I hope that you will.